In this episode of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State.
So it had like arms and legs and everything?
Yes. Not big. It did the further down, maybe 3 feet tall, but very definitely humanoid shape. And we just, we were speechless.
My parents see an alien. Adriana Sanchez tries to figure out why a mysterious clinking sound is coming from her three-year-old sister's head.
And she shakes her head. She's like, cling, 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 cling. That's all you hear.
Jesse McCurdy has no choice but to do something unspeakable to the flower beds outside of the Aquinas College Library.
I literally say out loud, that did not just happen.
Jonah throws some shade at Kinley's mom.
Kinley's mom started screaming because she, like, hates anything.
And at 3 years old, Ryan discovers the hard truth that he is, in fact, not Superman.
I remember thinking, I can jump from that couch to the other couch, and I'll be fine. I'm Superman.
All of those stories coming up next on My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. My family has had a cottage on Campbell Lake, southeast of Grand Rapids, for 5 generations now. It's my favorite place on Earth, in large part because there's always something interesting going on around the lake. My parents hold the record for the most insane thing we've ever seen on the lake. I interviewed my mom about this story, which takes place on a sunny Saturday afternoon on the lake about 20 years ago. And I would like to preface the story by apologizing for my incredibly loud laugh. I don't know where I got it from. No one else in my family has a laugh like this, and I can't stop it. Anyway, here's my mom, Kathy.
Suddenly we saw this way up in the sky, kind of a little shiny object. And we didn't, neither of us said anything, but we were both kind of watching this thing. And it was very slowly descending. And we like look at each other like, what? And this shiny thing dropped very slowly out of the sky. And when it got closer, we could see it looked like a little metallic space person or something. It was a humanish shape, maybe a robotic shape, metallic shape, slowly coming down.
So it had like arms and legs and everything?
Not big. It did the further down, maybe 3 feet tall, but very definitely humanoid shape. And we were speechless. We were agape. And the thing very slowly, I mean, this took like a minute or two, dropped down.
So this humanoid alien is slowly descending out of the sky.
Onto the
and
north.
What happens when it hits the water?
Of Campbell Lake.
Uh-huh.
Well, it just sort of comes down, and sort of, it almost appears a little bit like it's hovering right above the water, and then it just kind of seems to float there a little bit.
Like it's walking on the water.
A little bit, yeah. it stayed like up,
uh-huh.
Like it wasn't this.
So it doesn't go like splashing into the water.
No. It's just sort of like hovering right on the water, touching the water, but just hovering there a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And we just... What are we seeing? What? Are aliens true? Is this UFO? What? It was a UFO.
Right. Uh-huh.
There were people around on lake, and more people saw this thing. And a speedboat pulled up, and they lifted it out of the water. And it was one of those party balloons or something that you get for a kid.
Kid's birthday. Yeah. One of those ones that looks like a person. It's got the almost crepe paper legs and arms.
Well, it was inflated. It looked like the whole thing. I thought I called it a wacky wall walker, but I know it's not that. But it's something you see at the balloon store that looks like a little robot or something if you want to buy your kid a robot balloon or something. So it was sort of like a wah, wah, wah.
Well, my hopes were so high that it was an alien.
My hopes are so high. And yet, there was a certain amount of relief.
Because otherwise, that would have...
Because otherwise, this
is going to
be
totally ruined your afternoon.
The dawning of the age of the aliens, which we weren't sure was ready to come out of science fiction into real life.
Like, phew. It's not War of the Worlds this afternoon.
The War of the World begins with one
alien. And they picked our lake.
On Campbell Lake.
Yeah, where it found the most intelligent people in the world,
no.
Right?
That makes sense.
Oh, that's great.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Mom. That was my mother, Kathy Prince, with a story from Camp Hall Lake in Alto, Michigan. Children have a charming but dangerous fascination with jamming things into other things to see if they fit. Our next storyteller discovered just how serious and nonsensical this can get when her 3-year-old sister's head started making a strange noise. I interviewed Adriana about this story at my home in Alto, Michigan. So this happened just a couple months ago?
Yeah, just a couple months ago. It was late at night, too. So it was on a Wednesday. My little sister was at home. She's 3, mm-hmm. So she's still small, curious, yeah. Super curious about life. And in the morning, we have my aunt has a little dog. They live in the basement area of our house. And they have a little dog. They ask us to like take it out sometimes so he can run, you know, and play and stuff. And he was playing with one of my little sister's toys. Comes the time that I get home. And my sister was sleeping when I was at home. So I just got busy doing other stuff.
Is this the afternoon or something?
Yeah, this was afternoon. So I got home around 7 and she was sleeping. Which was weird because she never falls asleep during that time. She wakes up around 10 and comes into my room.
And 10 p.m.
10 p.m. And she's like, Nyanya, because that's what she calls me. That's my name. She's like, Nyanya, escucha, like, listen. And she shook her head. And she would shake her head. And all you could hear was, cling, 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 cling. And I was so confused. And I was like, where's that coming from? Mind you, she wears like earrings, like kind of like mine, so they're a little long. They dangle a little bit. So my first instinct was to cover her ears and like to like stop her earrings from moving.
Right.
And I told her, shake it again. And you could still hear it. And when she was doing that, her mouth was closed. So I was like, open your mouth. And she opened her mouth and it was louder. The sound was louder. So I was like, got it. Her tooth.
All right.
And I went with my mom and I was like, hey, mom, like Alexa has something in her mouth. Her tooth is loose or something. Can you check it? Because I don't know why I didn't check it, but I was just like, can you check it? I check her ear and it's not coming from like inside her ear. I thought maybe like a bean or something had got stuck inside her ear. That's what was shaky. It wasn't her ear.
Because it is a 3-year-old, and you're just like, okay.
It's something.
She jammed something somewhere, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Which is was our second instinct when it wasn't her teeth, because my mom checked her teeth and it wasn't her teeth. So then my sister comes with her side of the story. So before I had gotten home, I guess it was like around 5. My sister was playing around in the living room. My little sister, Alexa, had fallen or something. My big sister, Andrea, heard a thud in the living room. And my Alexa came with Andrea crying that something hurt by her nose. I guess my sister didn't see anything and thought maybe like she had fallen and hit her nose or something. So like we do like sana sana colita rana, which is just like, it'll be okay, kind of like massaging the area and like just assuring her that it will be okay.
Uh-huh.
And she told us that story when we were looking. So then we were like, her nose, right? Because she told us something had happened around her nose, that she had said that her nose hurt. And I guess they did something and it stopped hurting. I told my mom, I can't see anything up her nose. Let me go get a little light. And I grab one of the flashlights. As I go grab one of the flashlights in my mom's room, my little sister Alexa leaves to the living room and grabs the stuffed animal. Before that, she used to say ojo, which ojo means eye.
Right.
And we're like, but there's nothing in your eye. Like, why do you say ojo? So she brings the stuffed animal and she points at the eye on the stuffed animal. And she's like, ojo. And then I get the flashlight and I look up her nose. And the googly eye is stuck up in her nose.
So somehow the eye had come off the stuffed animal.
Remember the dog I told you in the morning? The dog was playing with that stuffed animal. And I'm guessing like she pulled the googly eye off the dog because it's something where Alexa couldn't have pulled it off. I wish my sister could articulate a lot better of her thought process of putting that googly eye up in her nose. Because all we could think was, why would you put that up there?
How big was it? It must have been a pretty small googly eye, right? Because it's a little kid.
It was like the size of my nail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like the nail size, I guess.
So, all right.
I
mean, so maybe less than a centimeter-ish or about there.
Yeah, I measured it and I think it was like a centimeter and a half.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was pretty big.
So she really worked to put that thing up there.
Yeah, and I think in the moment, like maybe she fell or hit or something. Because it was all the way up because it hurt her.
Oh.
She was crying because it was halfway through her nose.
Uh-huh.
And once it was up by her, like, septum, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What's this area called?
Yeah,
behind,
like,
her nasal spot?
Sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, up behind her tissue. That's where it was comfortable. So she stopped crying because it didn't hurt anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So we were there, like, thinking, how are we going to get this out? My first thought was tweezers.
Yeah.
And once my little sister, Alexa, heard tweezers, she started crying. She's like, no, not the tweezers.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, dude, we got to, like, get it out, you know? But she's like, no, no, no. And my mom was kind of like, what do we do? Like, you know, will it come out naturally? So we started, like, closing one of her nostrils and telling her to blow out.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying. And she was like, you know, trying so hard. You could see how hard she was trying, but it just wouldn't come out.
Oh, poor kid.
Because it was so stuck up in there. Yeah. It didn't hurt her, which was good because she was in no pain. She wasn't crying.
Good.
But the part where it was pain, it was just like the process of going up her nose.
Yeah. Like that, the narrow part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was up there vertically, so it wasn't horizontally. Uh-huh. So it was vertically, so that wasn't stopping her from breathing, which is good too, because that's the one thing that we worried, like, is this stopping her, like, her from breathing? But no, because when she would blow out, like, you could hear the air coming out her nostril. So I went to go grab the tweezers. I played around with her, like, putting the tweezer up my nose, kind of like to show her that it was okay. You know,
right.
I was like, hey, I got it up my
Look
nose.
How fun this is.
Yeah. And she would laugh, you know, just make like funny noises.
Uh-huh.
So then I came to her turn and she's like, no, 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 no. And I
meanwhile, was like, is it rattling every time she says no?
Yeah. And then we're like, and then we
click,
were
click,
like,
click,
Alexa, do it again. And she's like,
okay.
So we're here with my mom sitting down in the kitchen. And it's almost like 11, almost 12. And my mom's like, it's almost time to go to sleep. And I told her, I was like, Alexa can't sleep with that in her nose.
Yeah.
Because my thinking, I was like, if she goes to sleep with it and like she's laying down and she's breathing, it could go through like her esophagus because we have like our mucus, like,
right?
Kind of travels like
it's
that.
It's not going to get any better.
No,
for sure.
Exactly. And so I was like, Mom, you don't want to wait for anything to happen, especially in her sleep. So we went downtown to the Children's Hospital, which is great because there was nobody in there.
Yeah, great. Everyone else is asleep while you guys are jamming googly eyes up your nose.
So we get checked in and everything. The first staff that like checks my sister's vitals and everything is bilingual, so it was kind of cool because my sister was like, listen, I would shake her head to the physician checking her in and doing her vitals. Then they put us in the little emergency rooms,
right?
And they told us like a doctor would get with us and everything. So the process that the doctor decided to do was like a little, almost like a syringe kind of thing. But it doesn't inject or anything. But at the end of the little like syringe type device, it has this little balloon that once she clicks on like to inflate, it will pull the object with it. So that was the first thing that she told us to do. And my sister was cooperating because she was watching Hotel Transylvania. So she was pretty calm. We laid her down and she kind of like understood what was going to happen because we kind of explained it to her. Mm-hmm. So she was okay with the situation. We didn't really have to like hold her down, which was great. But once the doctor went up, and I guess it was so in the back that she couldn't get anywhere behind it. And then they ended up poking her tissue in the back of her nose.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. So she poked the tissue and it made her nose start bleeding. That's where it was like her crying, her not wanting to like have anybody go near her. And I don't blame her because anything up the nose, like if you remember COVID tests.
Yeah.
And they would like stick that up way up your nose.
Ugh. Yeah. It is super uncomfortable. Yeah.
Exactly. So I didn't blame her anything. And the doctor tried to try again. because she didn't want to like get up in there. She's like, no, actually, let me go get some like alligator clips, I guess, or tweezers or something. Mm-hmm. But they call them like alligator something because they have like a little like snout. And she said, let me try this. And she brought the clips and tried to take my little sister's the googly eye out again. But we were having a hard time holding her down.
Mm. And, that's so rough.
So we had the nurse holding her head. Mm-hmm. We had the doctor trying to take it out. My mom was grabbing her legs.
Oh.
And I was trying to like, you know, like, hey, Alexa, to meet me. Yeah. Just emotional support. It'll be okay.
And she's like screaming up a storm probably.
Yeah. Oh. So I had Play-Doh, which is her kryptonite. And I was like, Alexa, if you stay still, I'll give you Play-Doh, which helped because then she was willing to stay a little bit down, so it wasn't as much force. So I gave her Play-Doh, you know, and everything. And she was doing okay, but then I guess it just hurt too much. And the doctor was like, we have to give her relaxers. I don't know what it's called. It's a medication.
Like, almost like a tranquilizer, but some sort of depressant.
But for kids.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So then comes another difficult part because that medicine is 3 tubes of liquid medicine.
Oh.
And she already didn't want the syringe up in her nose.
Yeah.
So we gave her the first tube. She didn't want it. So we almost had to like force her to like drink it. I kind of like gave her Play-Doh. She kind of drank it. It took a while. The second one, she like drank a little bit and then spit the rest out. And then the last one, we were finally able to like, after the third try, you know, she drank the whole thing. So she had 2 out of 3 tubes of the medication and we were just waiting for it to have an effect on her. And then she started getting loopy.
What was that like? Because she only speaks Spanish, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then her first words were, ¿Por qué, doctor? Dio eso medicina. Like, why did the doctor give me medicine?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was followed up by a lot of laughter. And then she was just cracking up. And a lot of like phrases that would start and not end. And then having her like not even being able to hold her head. Like, she was like,
oh, wow,
unbalanced.
Uh-huh.
And then we started laughing and then she kept laughing.
What a ridiculous, yeah, crazy thing.
Our little 3-year-old sister was high. She was having a fun trip.
Yeah, nice. Good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She's getting relaxed and we're just playing around. She was just saying like, she would move her head again and then she would laugh. She'd laugh at herself with a little noise.
With the rattling, yeah.
Yeah. So then the doctor takes a while, waits for the medication to settle in,
mm-hmm,
and tries again.
Mm-hmm.
This little dude was strong.
Wow.
She still kept moving.
Oh,
like,
wow.
She wasn't, she didn't have like her force that she had.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, she is a farm kid. So she was so strong. She like still wanted to move and everything. The doctor was still having a hard time. This is the fourth time I think the doctor was in trying to get it out. So the doctor resorted to getting a different doctor. He finally came in. It took a while, but he was persistent on it and he was able to get a hold of it and actually pull it out.
Wow.
Once we pulled it out, she was just like, quiet. And she still moved her head. And she couldn't hear the noise.
She was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
So then how does your sister like explain this situation? Or did she talk about it later?
She does say like, yo nariz. And she just shakes her head. And she remembers.
Adriana Sanchez. I interviewed her about that experience at my home in Alto, Michigan. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. Our next story today comes from Jesse McCurdy, who, in the fall of 2022, learned something most of us learned from our parents ages ago when we went on those long road trips. We learned that sometimes it's important to go to the bathroom when you can, even if you don't feel like you have to. He shared this story at our fall 2023 open mic storytelling event at Calvin University in Grand Rapids.
This took place last year, and at the time I was living in Easttown. It's about 10 minutes from here.
just west of campus. And Easttown is this really, really fun area, super hip. When I first moved there, it was really important for me to find a place to run. So I decided to find this loop that went by a lake. It starts out, goes a mile, goes by a school, then goes by a lake. And in the morning, it's really beautiful because the birds fly all around. And then it keeps going by the lake up through some neighborhoods, and then you get to a college campus. It's Aquinas College, if anyone knows that. You go through Aquinas, you go through this like little garden area, and then you loop back to my house. And it was like a 5 or 6 mile loop. And it's really, really a nice loop. So I run enough, and I also use the bathroom while running enough, that I know pretty much every porta potty within like a 5 mile radius of my house. Like if you were to plant me in any part of Grand Rapids and ask me like, where's the closest porta potty? Like I could identify it for you. So I'm running one morning, casual morning, nothing special about my run. And the way that the porta potties at this part of the year were aligned, based on the construction that was happening, around mile 3, there was a porta potty. And then there wasn't another porta potty until like mile 5. So between mile 3 and mile 5, you're kind of in like a danger zone, like a no man's zone in terms of using the bathroom. But thankfully, between mile 3 and mile 5, Aquinas College is right in between that stretch. And I've gotten pretty good at sneaking into college buildings, whether I should be there or not. And I definitely have snuck into Aquinas solely to use their bathroom before. And so I was pretty comfortable with Aquinas, and their library specifically was just right along the path of my running trail. And I was like, of course, like I'll just go in the library if I ever need it. So this morning I'm running, and it was one of those runs where you're like, I probably need to use the bathroom at some point, but like not right now. So I keep going. I pass the 3 mile porta potty mark, and I'm like, I don't need to go to the bathroom right now. Like I'm good. So I keep going past the 3 mile mark, fully knowing that there's not another bathroom for a while. So I keep running, and it's one of those like those moments when you realize that something's looming in the distance. It's kind of like when you get that tornado warning on your phone and you're in the middle of the country and you're like, there's really not a shelter for me right now. So I'm just going to keep driving because it feels like the best thing to do. But you already know you're in the land of lose-lose. So I'm running and it's like around mile 4 and like things are moving quickly and I am moving slower. And so I just know things are not going to go well. And I come to a fork in the road where the porta potty at mile 5 is a half mile down the road. And the porta potty at Aquinas College is a quarter mile to my right. And I have to choose. And at that point, I realize that things are bad enough that I'm going to have to make one decision and pray to God that it works, because there's not going to be the chance to try one and then go to the other. And it was to the point where I was like, I'm going to have to go with Aquinas because it's much closer to me right now. But the only thing that was in the back of my mind was probably like the voice, like, you should not do this, you should not do this, is it was really early in the morning and I didn't know if the library was going to be unlocked. But it was to the point where I was like, I'm going to risk it for the biscuit. Like, I've gone to Aquinas before. So I'm running. It's getting close. I'm never going to give birth to a child, but I imagine like labor is probably similar to this feeling. And so I'm nearing Aquinas College. Like, I can see it in the distance. The goal is in sight. And so I get up to the library at Aquinas. So I run up to the door and I yank on all of the doors and they're completely locked. And at this part, like, I really start to panic because not only am I like literally about to just blow up, but I am in the middle of a college campus. Okay, think, like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm like, all right, there's a bunch of windows like along the building. Maybe I can like catch someone's attention. So the panic is building, the pressure is building back there as well. And I like check all the doors. There's no one. Okay, I round the corner. So you have a row of doors and then you have a wall and then you can go around the building. So I run around the building, either maybe thinking there'll be a window for me to get someone's attention, or maybe I'll just hide behind that wall and just go right there. So I round the corner and instead of finding someone to maybe let me in, I just come face to face through the window with a custodian. And it's like one of those moments where you lock eyes with someone and see so deep into their soul, but like you know that they're seeing into yours. I knew that by the way he was mopping the floor, like he was not going to let me in. Like he was just not having it. It was like 7 a.m. Well, shoot, I can't go to the bathroom here because I'm in full sight of this person. So I round back to the corner. And at this moment, it's that special second where time just slows down. And everything that you thought you knew, you just have to let go of. And so I'm standing there in front of the Aquinas Library, complete public. People could see me from like 20 miles away. And I'm standing there. There's the literal sidewalk just going right up to the library and then just landscaping, flower beds, all of that. And it was like that moment when time slows down and you realize it's time. So I just stand with my feet planted on the sidewalk, butt hanging out over the landscaping, pull down my pants and just explode all over the landscape right outside the Aquinas Library. And I literally say out loud, that did not just happen. So I had enough dignity to just pull up my pants. I'm half a mile from the actual porta potty. So I just pull up my pants and just run and finally make it to the porta potty and just have a moment to breathe and realize that just happened. I'm still alive, but if anyone saw me, I could be arrested. So I finish, I get back to my house and realize that it was a story that I now have, and it was also a tragedy that happened on Aquinas' campus. So thank you.
Jesse McCurdy. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. Little kids don't have a lot of tools at their disposal when it comes to getting their way with adults, so it's no wonder they sometimes find themselves with no alternatives but to resort to the use of force, as in the case of our next storyteller. Jonah shared this story with My Michigan Story producer Leah Gooding, who also happened to be his babysitter, about the time he didn't get what he wanted from his mom, so he abandoned diplomacy and went on the attack, only to create a little more spectacle than he had intended. Here's Jonah with this story from Caledonia, Michigan.
This takes us back 4 years ago to when I was five-ish. And so we're in my kitchen, and I ask my mom if I can have candy. She says no. And then I get really angry, and I ask her again, louder, and she says no. And then I ask her one more time, and then she says no even more. And then I start pounding the wall, and I have a wiggly tooth this whole time, and then I walk up to her and bite her knee, and my tooth falls out, and now there's blood everywhere and on my mom's pants, and she starts yelling and crying. And then Kinley's mom started screaming because she, like, hates anything, and that was a huge catastrophe.
So did you learn your lesson about biting your mom?
No.
No? Have you bitten your mom since?
Yes.
Okay.
Jonah, he shared that story with My Michigan Story producer, Leah Gooding, who also interviewed our next and final storyteller, Ryan, whom she also babysits, by the way. He shared this story about that painful and universal experience when we discover that we are, in fact, not Superman. Here's Ryan.
I was three, and we were just coming to Michigan. We were at my grandma's house, my family and I. And, of course, when you're three, you think you're Superman. So I had two couches down in my grandma's basement, and my sisters had built a, quote, pillow fort. And so I was like, okay, I can jump from this couch to the other couch, and if I don't make it, I'll land on the pillow fort and be fine. Because, again, I was three. I remember thinking through this. And so I jumped. And I totally missed, and I landed on the pillow fort, which was not a pillow fort. It was three stools with a blanket over them, and I broke my maxilla because I whacked my head on it, and my lucky tooth went flying across the room, and so did my two front teeth. So, yeah, I had to go to the hospital after that.
So you remember that from 3 years old?
Actually, yes, I do. I remember thinking, I can jump from that couch to the other couch, and I'll be fine. I'm Superman.
Do you remember it hurting a lot?
Actually, not really. I don't remember what I felt. I remember what I thought.
Okay. Wow. Well, thanks, guys. Those were great stories.
That was Ryan. He shared that story with My Michigan Story producer, Leah Gooding. Thanks so much for listening to this edition of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. Today's episode was edited by myself, Rob Prince, and produced by Leah Gooding and myself. My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, is presented by WKR in East Lansing, Michigan. Remember, I can't make My Michigan Story without your Michigan Story, so submit your story today at mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. Thanks.